Today's scripture comes from Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ray. Yeah. Well, it is back to school week, isn't it?
Yay!
Back to school. Most schools are opening this week. Last week, I understand Milford and Smyrna opened, and may have been some others too. You know, this is a especially stressful time for kids and for parents too. And kids, as they go back to school, I can remember going back to school and how stressful that was, making sure that we had just the right kind of shoes to wear, and worrying about the right backpack and the right notebooks and the right things to have there, the right lunchbox. I still remember my Batman metal lunchbox, you know, with that glass thermos bottle thing. I'm telling my age here now. So, but there's also more stress on kids as they go back to new classrooms and perhaps new teachers. And yeah, as I said with the children, maybe a little harder work this year because of moving up in grades. Kids really don't need a whole lot more stress than they're already under. I thought we'd talk about the basics today. The title of our series, and this is the first of three messages on the three R's. You know, in school, they teach the three R's, the reading and the writing and the arithmetic, right? That's bad English, of course, but that's what we're trying to, you know, get across to our kids, the basics. And today I'd like to focus on another R, add an R to that, and that R would be relationships, and that are so important for development of our children. Relationships are so critical for forming the foundations of the lives of our children, and that socialization is so critical. We've got a video this morning of an interview that we did with one of our preschool teachers, Elizabeth Fields. And Elizabeth's been with us for a number of years, and she took time out of her busy schedule, being missions chairperson and other things, to talk to us about the importance of relationships in our children.
Building positive relationships in our school setting, I believe, for this educator, for this mother, for this grandmother, is an integral, important component of our school day, each and every day. And believe me, this takes time, a lot of time. A lot of time with, as a teacher to a child, as the child to the teacher, as the children to each other. All of this takes time, and it takes a lot of consistency, but it pays off in the end, and it's so well worth it. In my experience, I've run across and noticed many times that a child has never had an educational experience before stepping into a kindergarten classroom, and maybe even just stepping into a first grade classroom. And there he or she is walking into a setting that they're totally unfamiliar with. And my goodness, it's almost overwhelming for them. Let's say it's little Billy, and little Billy has never been to school before, but little Sammy over here, he's had a lot of experience. And I'll say to Sammy, Sammy, how would you like to really kind of stay with Billy here and really make him feel comfortable in our classroom, and maybe you guys could have lunch together, and when we go to another special event during the day, maybe it'll be physical education. Maybe you could be his partner at this time. Sammy would be happy to share this time with Billy, and Billy thinks that he's pretty special now because he has a really special friend. And that is the beginning of this wonderful relationship that is being built and fostered, and we can watch it grow before our very eyes, and it's just a beautiful thing to see.
Okay, relationships. So vitally important. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at the three R's of Christian discipleship. Three R's are important in school, of course. We'd like to give you three R's that we're going to look at over the next 3 weeks. Today, we're going to look at relationships. Next Sunday, the second R, we're going to look at renewal of the mind and how important it is to have our minds renewed in the Word of God, by the Word of God. And then finally, we're going to wrap up with being what it means to be rooted and built up in Christ. Rooted and built up in Christ. So we hope that you'll be around for these next 3 weeks' messages. One of the things directly related to the theme that we're talking about in terms of relationships is a question that came to my mind is, why do people come to church? Why do you come to church? Why did you start coming to this church, for example, or to any church? And, you know, as a pastor, you know, we usually are the person they talk to when they want to join the church, or when they visit the church, we want to make sure that they are welcomed and shown hospitality. Many people join the church, come to church because they just moved into the community. Some of you remember moving to Lewis, moving to Milton, and wanting to connect with another Methodist church. And we're so glad that you chose Bethel Church to be here. But people look for that connection to church. People come to church because they need the love and support of a community of faith. A community of faith. And perhaps they've been going to church all their lives and they want to continue that connection. So many people tell me they want their kids in Sunday school. They may not be attending church themselves, but they know it's important enough that the children be in Sunday school. And that's always kind of fascinated me and intrigued me in that, you know, the kids need to be in church, but I don't necessarily have to be or want to be. And I struggle with that because everybody needs, you know, a relationship with God. Everybody needs the Lord. Everybody needs to get closer to God. But there are also some out there, probably more now than there have ever been, of people who are unchurched. People who have had no church connection whatsoever, have no idea what this is all about. And they're coming to church looking for answers to questions like, is this all there is to life? And so they think there's something here, they think there's something the church has to offer, and they come seeking for answers to their questions. But ultimately, they're looking for a relationship with God, of course, a relationship with a people, a relationship with friends. The most important relationship, though, of course, is our relationship with Almighty God. That relationship is paramount above all the others because God wants to be in relationship with His people, with His creation. You know, God just didn't create humanity just to be entertained by us, and sometimes we are pretty entertaining to God, I'm sure. God has a sense of humor. But, you know, God created us to be in love with us, to share this creation with Him, to walk with Him, talk with Him, and to be with us. God invites, He woos, He calls every individual, but not everyone responds to God's call and God's wooing. And so it's our job as God's people to reach out to those. Reach out to those who are not walking with God and to invite them and show them the love that God has shown us in our lives. But all relationships need to be nurtured. Every relationship needs to be nurtured. You can't know someone unless you spend time with them. And it's the same way with our relationship with God. We've got to spend time with God in order to get to know God and to hear what God has to say to us and to know God's will and to know God's ways. And God desires to spend time with us as well. It's great to come to church and to sing and to praise and to hear the great music and to enjoy the company of fellow believers and to hear the stories and the terrific sermons. Yeah, okay. Sometimes we're even moved to share the love of Christ with our church family. Sometimes we want to just stand up like Anna did and share something great that happened this past week to them, or how God has touched their lives in a special way. All of that is part of nurturing, but it's so easy here in the confines of this sanctuary, if you will. What about when we step out the door? What about when we leave the quote-unquote altar or the communion table and we're confronted with the world and life? How bold are we then in our faith? How vocal are we? How willing are we to share our testimony, our love to God in public? Something happens, as they say, between the altar and the door, and we leave this place. But how do we nurture this relationship outside the church? You know, you can't live off one meal a week. And this is a kind of a spiritual feeding, if you will. I get fed, you get fed. We can't live off one meal a week, can we? And so we need daily feedings, regular feedings upon God's Word. And God's Word has to somehow, some way, soak into us. We have to take it in. You know, I kind of use the analogy of ketchup and marinade. I've got a picture here. You know what ketchup is. You guys like ketchup? You put ketchup on everything? Not quite. Okay. Yeah, we like ketchup on our French fries, but guess what? It's just a topping, isn't it? It doesn't get into the French fry. Well, I suppose if you left it on there overnight, it might soak in a little bit. But anyway, it's just a topping, and it doesn't get into the potato or the scrambled eggs or whatever. But maybe God's Word should be more like a marinade. You know what marinade is? It's that nice stuff that you mix together with garlic and olive oil and rosemary and spices and herbs, and you put the meat or chicken or whatever in it, and you let it soak overnight or for a few hours. And what happens when you marinate meat or fish or poultry? It soaks in the flavors of the marinade, the garlic and the spices, and it changes the flavor of the meat, hopefully for the better. And it's the same way with God's Word. When we marinate in God's Word, when we spend time in God's Word, when we listen to God's Word, when we study it, when we get into it, it somehow soaks into us. And the Holy Spirit comes and touches our heart and transforms our lives. That's the hope anyway. And then we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, which we're going to talk about next week. And it draws us closer to Jesus. Okay, we've talked about relationships and how we need to spend time with God to enhance that relationship and to marinate in God's Word and to spend more time in prayer. And if you're like me, I don't spend nearly enough time, you know, in prayer. You've seen my prayer walks on Facebook. I try to share a little bit about what's going on as I walk with God in the morning in my development. But that's just a very, very short snippet of time out of my whole schedule in the day. The question is, what is your relationship like to God? It is the most important relationship. Do you know God? Do you know His Son, Jesus Christ? Do you know that God wants to be in relationship with you? That God has these wonderful things in store for you? And that God wants to love on you, and God wants to share, you know, all the wonderful blessings of being in relationship with Him. But we have to open our hearts. We have to let Him in. We have to use radical hospitality, as Bishop Snazy says, and welcome that acceptance of God into our hearts. And it begins right here, right now, at this table. This table represents God's love. The love that the Scripture tells us is from God's heart. And as we partake of this meal today, think of it as God's welcome of you, God's hospitality. This is not Bethel Church's table. This is not Fred Duncan's table. This is not the worship committee's table. This is the Lord's table and the Lord's meal. And we come this morning as empty vessels to receive Christ once again. To receive and taste and see that the Lord is good. And I invite you to think about those things. Think about your relationship with God, with Jesus, as you receive Christ, as you receive Christ in a very special way this morning, in a tangible way that Jesus told us to do until he returns. Maybe it's time this morning to examine our hearts. And to do that, we've offered a prayer of confession. I hope and pray that every time we read a confessional in church, that it speaks to your heart as it does mine, and that we can all say amen to it. And so as we prepare to receive this holy meal, let us prepare our hearts with a prayer of confession. And then I'll offer an opportunity for you to share silently your own prayers of confession before we partake. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we are hungry. We are hungry for attention. We are hungry for recognition. We are hungry for vengeance. We are hungry for love. We are hungry for life. But are we hungry for you? Do we hunger and thirst for your righteousness? Do we hunger for your presence? Do we hunger for your glory? Will we take you at your word? O great God, reveal yourself to us. Feed us with your bread of life, and teach us to hunger for you. Amen.